This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're gonna get hard if you play us.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, pitch 25 in Edo. Come on out and hang out with us. The Astros game is over. They took it on the chin 8-1. They may have celebrated a little bit last night after locking up the division. But we are at pitch 25 in Edo. Come hang out with us. Big shout out to Sagamore Rye Whiskey. Make sure you get by your local liquor store and ask for Sagamore. Sagamore Rye Whiskey's making it happen. Come by here. There will be tastings. There are tastings. You can get you a quick pop of that Sagamore Rye Whiskey. And if you come through, make sure you ask about the Frozen Orange Crush, a little mixed drink, signature drink for the day. The American Godfather, which is another Sagamore signature drink, as well as the Cold Fashion. I got a Cold Fashion coming my way. Ron, I got you one of them Frozen Orange Crushes. I know you liked it last week or a couple weeks ago. I figured you'd like the frozen one. And at least you're the connoisseur of frozen drinks for me. So I want to make sure that we make it happen. There we go. There we go. The old Cold Fashion, Sagamore Rye Whiskey, and the old Frozen Orange Crush. Ah, there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Case. Thank you, baby. Appreciate it.
When you get a chance to party, party.
One thing to take away from today's Astro game is you say Kikuchi. Ron, you got his line. You say Kikuchi had another good outing, which I think moving forward, we talked about this with Hunter Brown two games ago. Obviously, Yordan Alvarez last night, and Kikuchi today is – we just want to, if these guys are going to play, if they're going to participate, we just want them to stay on a roll, and Kikuchi had another good outing.
Yeah, six innings. There were two runs given up, but they were unearned because Shea Whitcomb had four errors today. The Astros had four hits. So he had as many errors as the Astros had hits.
Shea, it'll go away, Shea. I threw four picks in the second half against the Giants, man. People at some point in time will forget about it. Maybe they'll randomly bring it up once a week to you, but it'll be okay, man.
And also, take like the advice that Clint had. After he threw those four picks, he bounced back the next week. And
never saw the field again.
Shea, don't listen. Never mind on that, Shea.
No, next time I started a game, it was in Amsterdam.
Never mind on that, Shea. Actually, don't ignore Clint. he went six innings, no earned runs, eight strikeouts and one walk. The strikeouts has continued to go up, has been his calling card since he's been in the league, but definitely since he's been traded to the Astros. So another big outing from him.
Shea, don't worry about it, baby. We'll get beyond it, man. We got playoffs here. But look, after the Texans took one on the chin last week from up in Minnesota. Which Tyler was in attendance, by the way. I'm trying to keep him.
We don't have to talk about that.
You're fair. Ron's rubbing off on me. You are right. You're right. I didn't have to bring that up.
I think it's a big part of it.
But the Vikings took
King the Vikings.
Yeah. That guy right there. He was in Minnesota. The Vikings obviously gave it to the Texans last week. It was ugly. The biggest, I think, talking point, hot button topic coming out of that game is Laremy Tunsil. And overall, more disturbing or more alarming is just the problem that the Texans have had this year with penalties. It's not been one game. It's not been one person. It's a problem throughout on both sides of the football. And, Ron, I ask for one thing. I said this in a post-game show with Sean Pendergast. You and I talked about it Monday. I think we may have even talked about it yesterday. All I want is for D'Amico Ryans to straight up just say, hey, man, it's been addressed. Like, not, hey, it was a bad game. We're gonna brush it under the rug. We're going to move on. Or we're just going to get beyond it. Or we're going to 24-hour rule. We'll forget about it. Blah, blah, blah.
Every week, though.
I want the guy that's responsible for my Houston Texans to simply say, everybody relax. I've addressed the situation. Well, D'Amico Ryans, he spoke once since the game on Monday. I didn't feel any better about what he had to say about the penalties. Let's see what he had to say today. He spoke today and was asked, obviously, about the penalty problems that the Texans have had.
Pre-snap definitely has been addressed. Again, we spent time on that, talked about it. We addressed it, and we'll see on Sunday that it's been addressed, and we'll handle it really well. Offensive line had a great day at work today. Everybody's dialed in. Everybody understands who we are, what we're about, and what it's going to take for us to get back on track, and that's what we're focused on.
Ronnie checked every box. It's been addressed. Everybody understands. We're working on it, and everybody's been good this week. And what I really like is the part in there in the middle when he said, well, we'll play a game on Sunday and we'll find out. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I don't
think we'll show you. Now,
right. D'Amico ain't no fool. He knows, like, just because you can line up right and stay on sides and not jump early in practice don't mean you're going to do it on Sunday. So it's got to happen on Sunday or it's all for none. But I love the fact that the head coach has, and almost, like, you could also, he wasn't irritated with the question. Like, CJ's almost irritated with talking about Minnesota. Like, and I can see where these guys would be. But D'Amico Ryans wasn't irritated with it. D'Amico Ryans just simply said, almost with a tone of like, hey, man, I get it. I know why you're frustrated. I know why you're pissed off. But it's been addressed. So that's all I could ask him to do, Ron. And he did it. And I'm ready to move on.
Hopefully it was addressed differently than after the Bears game. Because the Bears game, penalties was a big talking point coming out of that game,
sure.
And it showed up again. So I would imagine maybe there had to be new tactics,
right?
Done or deeper tactics done with it coming out of this week. So
yeah,
because it's back to back weeks where they've had double digit turnovers.
Well, with this offensive line, with the experience that you have on offensive line,
penalties. Penalties. Yes.
With the this offensive line, as talented as they are, the draft capital you got invested, the sheer salary cap you got invested, they can't be the reason why you can't convert third downs. I mean, it just flat ass can't be the reason why you're not able to convert third downs. And they can't be committing penalties that are pulling first downs off the board, and so taking explosive plays off the board. And the truth is, Ron, is we should, and we've had this conversation today. We'll have it again, I'm sure, before the show's over. But we should be talking about this team's inability to generate a pass game at this point in time. Like, a consistent pass game that's on schedule, on time, in rhythm, the way that we've seen this group execute in the past. But instead, we're talking about penalties. We're talking about the highest paid left tackle, one of the best pass protecting left tackles in the game, and penalties. So I'm good. I can put that to bed until, hopefully it doesn't happen, but until it rears its ugly head again on a Sunday afternoon. And it ain't, we're not just one week and everything's going to be good. This is something that's got to be significantly better, and it's got to be the standard with the Houston Texans.
Right now, I think they're third in the league in accepted penalties right now. Third in the league, and for a team that you'd feel is disciplined with D'Amico and that coaching staff, that's not something that we would expect,
yeah,
or should be acceptable.
Yeah. Ryan Ugley, I'm Clint Sterner. We're at pitch 25. Big shout out to Sagamore Rye Whiskey for making it happen. The Astros game is over. Slide on through and see us if you're out there, if you're on the highway. If you ain't got nothing to do, come on through. This place is big, got plenty going on, and people are just steadily kind of trickling in the door here. It's going to be a good time, so come on through and hang out with us. Guys, Tyler, you too. Have y'all heard about this UNLV situation?
A little bit. I know the quarterback who whooped our ass decided to leave.
That's right. I didn't I wrote it in the rundown, and I didn't even think about it.
He could have left earlier.
So
the major reason why they won the game.
Well, I know there's a lot of people out there that, I mean, hell, let's be honest, there's still a lot of folks out there that don't know why college players are getting paid. But there's a lot of folks out there that at the very least understand that there's got to be some guidelines, there's got to be some restrictions put on this NIL situation. The quarterback at UNLV, UNLV, if you don't know, which, by the way, the UNLV jacket, puff jacket, starter puffy jacket I had back in the day when I was young was absolutely tremendous. Until we found out that there was a gang in Baytown that Mama wouldn't let me wear the jacket no more. I had a clean UNLV.
This has some blood.
The starter right puffy jacket. It was.
I got an Oilers one.
Oh,
Larry Johnson, Stacey Ottman.
That was the days right there, man.
Greg Anthony.
Oh, come on. I was rocking that thing. And Mom said, son, let me get that. She put it in top of her closet. Wouldn't let me wear it no more. She was taking care of me, man, keeping me safe. But UNLV, they're 3-0. They beat Kansas, and they beat U of H. Sorry. Sorry to everybody out there. Sorry to all my Cougars out there. Sorry to Ron. I didn't even realize how deep this was going to cut.
But like, right? The boss lady didn't like it either.
Yeah, she probably didn't like it either. They are ranked, I believe it's correct, 23rd UNLV is in the coaches poll. Feel really good about their team. They're just outside the top 25 in the AP poll, right? They're 3-0, and their quarterback has come out, and I'm not going to read it because it's a long letter, but their quarterback has posted on Twitter, or X, however you see it, a letter thanking UNLV and announcing that he is going to take his redshirt year. See, in college football, as long as you don't – I think you can play in 4 games. And guys would get injured within four games, and right as the season started, you could take your red shirt, and it wouldn't cost you a medical red shirt. You could just take a red shirt, right? But you can play in 4 games throughout a season, and you can still take your red shirt. Well, he's played in 3 of those games, and he has decided that he's going to announce that he is leaving the football team.
Could get that money.
And check out what UNLV's got on the line. He's leaving the football team.
In the middle of the year.
In 3 games in, when they're ranked. And he's leaving the football team over NIL money. He was verbally committed to by the offensive coordinator, apparently, that they would pay him $100,000 to play at UNLV this year. Now, on they're admitting that they agreed that they would pay him $3,000 a month for 4 months, which is $88,000 short of what this quarterback and his dad are saying they were guaranteed. Now, what you got to realize is a lot of this NIL money, there's verbal commitments because they're doing – a lot of it is being done illegally. So they don't want a paper trail. Yeah. So a lot of it is verbal commitments, but this is where you run into the problem. The university says that offensive coordinator, whether he said it or not, is irrelevant because that offensive coordinator didn't have the authority to give away that kind of money. And the dad and the quarterback are saying, man, we just want what we promised, what you promised us.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to give it to us,
I'm out,
right? But check out what's on the line. UNLV, I said they're ranked. And remember that the college football playoffs has expanded this year. There's 12 teams and one – if UNLV has a monster season,
the highest ranked,
the highest ranked non-power four team gets in, and UNLV is still in shape right now. It's early, but they're still in shape right now to where they could have their sights set on that goal. And they've already beat 2 power four programs in U of H and Kansas, so they've already got over 2 of their bigger hurdles. And Ron, and right now, they are being, and I don't know if this is official or not yet, but they're being considered to be the final team into the Pac-12. So they're going to have an opportunity to step up from the Mountain West to the Pac-12. So it's not just about the college
football. Even more attractive.
Yes,
they got,
like right now, UNLV is in the right spot. They're rolling, right? And because they're not going to pay up, Ron, he's decided he's going to bounce and take his redshirt.
I would imagine for the coach and the coaching staff, especially the head coach, there's some bonuses that probably come into play if they win their conference. There's probably some bonuses that come into play if he made it to the college football playoff. There's a lot of money on the line that could be rolling out there. And those were on the road, I believe, so they've had some of their toughest games. And this is crazy. Like, this is the craziest we've really seen NIL, a star player, the most important part of a team, just bounce in the middle of it. Like, this is another way they can hold some of these programs hostages. like you start thinking about like what could Arch do right now? All right, y'all, I didn't play two games. What are we gonna do? Like I need to get this on. like hey, you know what? Hey, just because we made it to the season don't mean nothing. I got three games to play with.
The reason this one hits home for me is because what if Taylen Green at Arkansas did it right now? And he is the offense scrambling around right now at Arkansas, and they're 3-1, right? I mean, he could walk in right now and go, you know that reported million y'all gave me? I need two or I'm out of here.
I know that Tyson,
and I can redshirt this
Tyson
year.
Tyson Chicken better step up.
I mean, it's just scary. At the end of the day, here's what this means, Ron, is this is the red flag that is the NIL needs some kind of guidelines on what they're doing. And this one right here screams from both ways, whether you talk about the kid quitting, it's bad for college football, it's bad for the university, or you talk about the kid not getting paid the money he was promised. Either way it goes, this is going to, and I bet it happens before next season, this is going to put contracts in place in college.
They should. They should.
These kids are not going to agree to they're not going to agree to these unless it's in writing, in contract, which is going to make it hard for the colleges because now the college's got to do it all legal. It's all got to be on the up and up.
Well, that's why they're hiring people like
general managers.
Yes, like Woj just took that gig. They're hiring people like that.
Hey, on another thing in the college game, I don't know if y'all saw this, but you got to check it out. Clearly, one of the best, I think it's fair, most notable college basketball programs, Kentucky. Have you seen the court that they've got in their arena, in Rupp Arena? It is a glass LED court. So it flips. You have to go look at the videos. Like it flips. The court can change any like a damn TV, the whole court.
Yeah.
So it looks like a regular basketball floor. And then it'll go to all black with blue outlines and a Kentucky Wildcat on it. And then it changes.
Is it no longer hardwood?
I don't think so. I think it's glass is what I'm reading. It's a new floor. They're the first ones. Now, I don't know if they're just using it for their, you know, their blue and white game or whatever they call it. Because, you know, there's a lot of hype around that. And I don't know if it's just a recruiting ploy or what they're going to do. But it's the first of its kind in college basketball. Go to social media and check it out. It's pretty sick. It's hard to believe that they're not gonna if it's legal, like kids can actually play on it. It's hard to believe that this isn't going to be in every arena.
I have not seen it. I'll take a look at that. All right, as we continue live here, we're going to be hooking somebody up here with a $50 gift card to Specs. That's coming up here in this hour as we are live here at Pitch 25 here in Edo coming up. How did they pull this off? Let's talk about the pause. The hell with this 8-1 loss. Let's talk about what happened last night with the Astros. How in the hell did they pull this off? They really pulled this one out of the fire. We'll continue that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Pitch 25, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live, and I'm just letting you know right now, if you are in the building, you may want to listen to this as well. If you are just walking in, you may want to listen to this as well. And if you are driving, heading out here to Pitch 25 here at Edo, after this segment, we will be hooking somebody up with our first of two $50 gift cards to Specs. $50 to Specs. I'm telling you, man, we did something as a station in which we won $50 gift cards. I'm not sure what you did with yours, Clint. I'm not sure what you did with yours, Tyler. But I know I went to Specs myself, and I went to Specs, and I got me a nice $100 bottle. Got me a nice $115 bottle of whiskey, Tyler. It was one, you know, they got the ones locked up.
Oh, yeah.
That you can't get in. You had to get it locked up.
Tasted dirty water.
Throw that gift card to it.
Ron said, I'm going to get in that gate. I'm going to get in that box back there.
Yeah, baby, that's right. I had a gift card, had an additional Visa one to go along with it, so I really only came out of there about $27.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. You can do like Ron. You can buy whatever the hell you want, or you can use that $50 gift card to get you a bottle of this old small batch Sagamore rye whiskey that we're having, that we're enjoying here at Pitch 25.
You can. Yeah, so you do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. But that's coming up as soon as this segment ends, your chance to win
$50 to Specs. So come on out. All you got to do is sign your name put in the raffle box, and we will draw that winner coming up here soon. All right, as we continue, remember, about an hour or so from now, Brandon Scott will join us. We'll get his Texans report, so hang in with us there. Not an hour from now. I'm sorry. About 10 or 15 minutes from now, we'll hear from Brandon Scott and get his Texans report. But, Clint, man, we look at this thing. Yes, they had a rough one today. And by the way, I'm not sure here. I really think I've thought about this a long time. When teams have, and I promise you I'll get us back on track here, but when teams have these celebration, like, certain guys need to know the drunk level that they can get to. Like, certain guys need to know how much, because I think guys last night after they won that got absolutely trashed. Like Justin Verlander, he could get 3 full sheets to the wind because it don't matter for him. Bregman, maybe a little less. Altuve, no, I ain't playing. You can get trashed.
The guy is drunk.
Shea Whitcomb, you know you probably going to have to play tomorrow. You have to just kind of get a buzz.
I think he was playing drunk.
And I think maybe Shea went in there on his first one. This is first one, Clint. I think Shea may have let it get away from him in there. And that may be the reason why he had the 4 errors. Shea may have gone out there, because it's hard, man, when you ain't never been there. Like right now, like, it, you know, I'm better. But let me, about 10, 15 years ago, you know, Tyler, you're still dealing with this. But like 10, 15 years ago, If the drinks is in front of me, I wasn't able to pace myself. I wasn't able to stop myself. I'm going all the way in. And I believe Shea got in there and said, damn it, you never know. I may not be in here to celebrate another one. I'm about to get in here and go all the way. And then he forgot how much he was going to have to play the next day. I bet Kessinger, that's another one. You can't go too far. Just can get a buzz. Some guys like that.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think Shea was probably told that Bregman was going to start, so he just assumed that he was going to be able to coast. I doubt that Joe Espada let Shea, of all people, in on, hey, man, we're going to give Bregman a chance to get a standing ovation because we don't know if he's going to be an Astro, regular season Astro ever again. So I doubt they told him to be ready for the fifth inning, Ron.
Who all, by the way, 713-572-4610, who could have gotten completely trashed? Who is in the level of completely trashed, and well, then who is in the level of buzz?
If you've hit in the top five this year, you can get dumped.
Diaz had to play today. He had to catch. I'd have been pissed.
Would that not be terrible?
Oh, I'd be pissed. You got to pace yourself.
Oh man,
does Josh Hader pitch this? Oh, Josh Hader could have gotten absolutely destroyed.
I'm gonna tell you, I've been hung over with a football helmet on in Dallas heat, having to go through practice. I think the only thing worse would have to put catcher uniform on and catch a major league pitcher hungover.
I don't have time to have a bad,
you know what I mean? Like similar gear, and then somebody's throwing 95 mile an hour beans at
you. He had at least had a buzz. Like, I bet John Singleton, John was on the fringe. He probably thought maybe I can get away with a few. But no, John, you had to play. That's why he slid. That slide looked the way it did. Yeah, Yordan. Somebody said Yordan. Yeah, Yordan could get completely trashed.
No, he can't. He's got swelling. Alcohol will make that leg swell more.
That's all right. Framber.
It's a blood thinner. Get that blood circulating.
Somebody texted Framber. Framber
had 42 fully dressed Coronas. There ain't no doubt.
He might have been in his drawers midway through that celebration.
I bet his face looks like a Jack in the Box commercial right now.
I bet it did.
He is swole up, son.
All right, real quick, man. As we continue here, man, how they pull this thing off, Clint? Man, 7-19, 10 games behind the Mariners, like a couple months ago, without Tucker, without Verlander for long stretches. Every pitcher that worth the damn, except for Ronel Blanco, either started in Sugar Land or got injured and went on the IL.
The Astros were left for dead.
They were. Hell, I killed them. How did they pull this thing off, man? It's just crazy.
It's wild to think that they were able to do it. It's crazy. The crazy thing is they did it by the All-Star break.
So fast.
I mean, it was just a matter of hanging on after the All-Star break. They did it before the All-Star break. I tell you what, Tony Gwynn said something a little earlier. By the way, if you have the Odyssey app, AUDACY, if you don't, download it. Because there's a rewind feature on there. We had Tony Gwynn Jr. on. What time was that, Ron?
That was at 2:40.
He's great, man. Go back and check him out. He's great. But he said something that I think it's again got me thinking about Joe Espada. It's a really good point that Joe having known this squad inside and out, and then this squad also knowing Joe inside and out, when you look at the kind of season they had and the kind of adversity that they had to overcome, that had to be a monster factor in this thing.
Absolutely.
You know, when they hired Joe before all the wheels came off and I fell out of love with Joe, the only reason I had for liking the hire was, I mean, he was my number one candidate because, hey, just keep this train on the track, baby. Just keep this chemistry rolling. I don't need no hard ass coming in here and trying to do it his way. Just keep this thing rolling. And I quickly fell out of love with Joe Espada, and I'm out of love with Joe Espada. But that factor, when you talk about dealing with the adversity and making that kind of that comeback as quick as they did, I mean, it's hard to think that didn't play a big role.
They got a 5-game lead, right? Or a 4-game lead now after they lost that. They're coming into today, that they did it and cleared it with a 5-game lead.
Boy,
like as you said, the All Star break, they took it and just had a hold on. Yeah, amazing, amazing performance as those guys. Someone said, Ron, I guarantee Hector Neris got blasted. I think Hector knew he was the odd man out. Ryan Pressly pitched yesterday.
I think Hector's got a governor on his drinking anytime, anywhere. I think he's got a problem with fighting. I think he's got a fighting problem.
He looks like it gets away from him.
Could you imagine him drunk in a bar? Yeah, like crowded where
sober.
People are kind of running
sober,
into each other?
Sober with Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
By the way, Julio got the best of that today. Good God.
What'd he do? Did he hit a bomb?
Towering bomb. That's the first time they faced each other since he charged Julio.
Neris just put his head down.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Neris did it on purpose.
He should have charged the plate again.
Hey, I was wrong. He said it in Spanish. I saw him. I read his lips.
You just,
hey,
you,
I was wrong last time, man. I'm just going to ease this up. I'm gonna set one up on the plate for you,
I'm
man.
I'm certain, Clint, you just found out.
I did. I didn't know. I heard you talking about it earlier, but I didn't know it actually happened. I think you actually called it.
Yeah. Coming up, as we are live here, we're going to hook somebody up with a $50 gift card to Specs and – we'll get our Texas report from our guy, Brandon Scott. That's coming up next right here live.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I'm on the drive.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to our winner, Anthony. One more time in the 5 o'clock hour, you'll have a chance to win a $50 gift card to Specs. All you got to do is come out to where we are. We're in Edo at Pitch 25. Come on out, sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to be a winner like Anthony was, as it is starting to fill up in here. A good time is being had as people are falling in after the Astros game. But it is time for our Texans report, and Brandon Scott, who joins us each and every Wednesday at 4:40. B. Scott, the injuries are kind of starting to be a big story, and usually they are during this point of the week, but the Texans have some pretty important pieces there. The same situation with the running back, although there may be some better news with Damian Pierce, but Damian Pierce, Joe Mixon did not practice today. And then Tank Dell, that's the one that shows up there, and he has a rib issue and then the hand and wrist. How serious are you hearing that situation could be with Tank Dell?
So with Tank Dell, I still want to at least wait and see till further on in the week. They said day-to-day today. So if it's day-to-day on Wednesday and he practices on Thursday, then I'd look pretty silly for making it seem like the sky is falling today. But it is an issue. Like, you think about it, it's a similar situation to last week when they were down both their running backs. It looks like they're going to have better luck with Damian Pierce coming back. But similar to last week when Nico Collins was out and we saw him come back, now you've got Tank Dell out, and we actually saw the play where he suffered an injury or where you could see how he might be dinged up a little bit. So I would say, like, this time, I put it to you this way. This time last week, I didn't think that Juice Scruggs was going to play, and he ended up playing. So I want to give it at least another day before I definitively say, hey, this is what it is. But it's not a good sign when you've got that many injuries and one of your best weapons is not out there.
Hey, what's the vibe? We've talked, I think the biggest talking point about what the hell's going on last week and even the week before has been the penalty conversation, whether it's specifically about Laremy Tunsil or it's about the Texans as a whole. Just what's your feel? What's the vibe around the building being over there? What's your thoughts on that getting corrected as soon as possible?
Yeah, Clint, this is something that we talked about a lot. We know that there's not going to be a lot of public accountability. There's not going to be a lot of mudslinging or finger-pointing in the media. Like, they're not just going to come out and say, hey, Laremy Tunsil is hurting us. Laremy Tunsil is killing our drives. They're not going to say it like that. They're going to kind of dismiss it and say, hey, Laremy Tunsil knows what to do. He knows where to line up. Those sort of things. But you've got to believe that behind the scenes, there is some accountability, especially when you're a team that prides itself on having the type of leadership that the Texans pride themselves on having between D'Amico Ryans, between C.J. Stroud. Hell, Laremy Tunsil himself wears the C on his chest and is a captain on this football team, and as we all know, is the highest paid player on this team. So you have to imagine that there is some looking in the mirror, some introspection. I can even remember after week one, Clint, in the Colts press conference, post-game press conference, where C.J. Stroud mentioned, hey, a couple of us are rusty. It's the beginning of the season. A couple of us are rusty. I'm not going to mention no name. Who do you think was the non-name that he wasn't mentioning? That was Laremy Tunsil, who was penalized in that game as well, and it's only gotten worse. So you've got to figure that there's been some kind of conversation. What does that conversation look like? They do a damn good job of making sure we don't know exactly what that looks like.
Brandon Scott here with us. And with that, man, we had conversations about this yesterday. I think there are a couple of guys on this team, and as you know, covering this group, and you've covered Laremy Tunsil the entire time he's been here, Brandon, like you can't handle these guys all a certain way. And I think maybe the type of get down that Laremy Tunsil has and how he is, I think it is very, very smart to handle this a certain way, because you could potentially lose Laremy Tunsil if you go certain routes. Like, I think Will Anderson could be fine being called out, and he would react to, yeah, let me keep working harder. You might have to, as Clint has said, you gotta get his ass off the practice field. He may take it. I don't know that Laremy Tunsil reacts that way. So I think the way they're handling it makes a lot of sense with the type of reaction you may get from it.
It's an interesting point, because I see how you get there, but the reality is that we have no idea, because even though this is kind of a consistent issue with Laremy Tunsil, the pre-snap penalties is a part of his history, it's never been this bad. Like, the thing with Laremy Tunsil is that the good film and the good plays always outweighed the bad. You always had, I heard you guys talking about this yesterday, you always could at least rely on the fact that, hey, he's going to shut down Myles Garrett or whoever his defensive counterpart is. You can rely on him being that guy more so than you can rely on the penalty, like even with the penalties. And so there was a balancing act that you were willing to kind of take that or allow that give and take. The film is not even good enough right now, or I would say the penalties are so bad right now that it doesn't outweigh. Like, the good does not outweigh the bad right now in this moment. So I feel like we're also in kind of an unprecedented territory with Laremy Tunsil if these type of miscues continue. Like, what do you do if he's killing more drives than he is shutting down the opposite best edge rusher. Then you get to a different space to where all that talk about, yeah, you might lose Laremy Tunsil, or how is he going to respond? Hell, it might not matter if he's killing you on every play. So they got to reach a point to where it's not that.
I think, B. Scott, the level of silliness has to play in here. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, if this were just false starts and there was a Myles Garrett or a T.J. Watt or, you know, a great pass rusher across the ball from him and it were just false starts, I could forgive and forget and move the hell on real quick. You know, but we're talking about, and I love Jonathan Grenard, but we're talking about a guy the Texans didn't even want after they knew exactly who he was. You know, we're talking about a guy that's supposedly the best pass blocking left tackle in the game that is so hell bent on getting an alignment and a jump advantage in a game against Jonathan Grenard. Like that, the silliness level of just not being able to line up right. It, I think, is the part that rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, and that makes sense, Clint. I think on top of that, like, it's silliness, and then it is what is the standard and who is it that sets the standard? And we talk about C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson and D'Amico Ryan and all of these tone setters around the building and throughout the team. Laremy Tunsil, like, we understand that he's a different type of guy. He's not a rah-rah guy. It's possible that he doesn't, you know, love the game more than he loves the paycheck, however it is. But you at the very least expect for his level of play to be tone-setting, to be a standard-setting, and to at the very least, like, meet the level of what his play has been or what the weight that his name carries throughout the locker room and around the league. And the fact of the matter is, all of those pre-snap issues, whether it's lining up wrong or jumping just a little bit early, all of that goes against the narrative of this being one of the better players in all of football. And we've seen it. Like Ron mentioned, I've watched every snap that he's played with the Texans. He's been an outstanding player throughout his time. But this year specifically, the issue is that something that we've known to exist with him has progressively gotten worse when you would expect it to be getting better.
All right, B. Scott, before we get you out of here, what's the feel you've been having since the game Sunday building up to today, just how they're handling this, how they're reacting to, which is the first bit of adversity they've had to deal with. Listen, they got beat down in Minnesota, and the narrative in the comments – both locally and nationally have kind of changed. What's the feel you're getting how they're handling this?
Well, it is definitely, I think, the most scrutinized loss and most scrutinized moment of the D'Amico Ryans era. And I think that is in large part because we are in a different range of expectation now where we expect to see this team on a local and national level. Certainly the fan base, like last year was a cute story. It's like, oh, you got these new guys, these up-and-comers kind of surprising everybody around the league, and they're not doing that this year. There is a standard, there is an expectation, and this is the first time that they failed under that. And so I think that they're probably feeling a little bit of pressure, and they're lying to you about all they talk about rat poison. I'll tell you that, Ron. I don't want to hear nothing else about not eating the rat poison or not reading your press clippings or not smelling your own stuff, because they clearly do that. They clearly are not living under rocks and understand the way people talk about them. And I think deep down they care about how people view them and how people talk about them. That has been a sense that I've gotten from them since the loss on Sunday. And so if they want to correct it, obviously they got to go out there and put something better out there on the field. But I do get the sense that they're tired of talking about – you heard C.J. Stroud mention it. Yeah. Tired of talking about the game. I think they want to flush it, especially since it happened so early on in the season. They want to flush it and try to put something better out there.
All right, that's Brandon Scott. Joins us every single Wednesday at 4:40. You can catch his work at sportsradio610.com. B. Scott, we appreciate you. Talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. See you soon.
All right, as we're live here at Pitch 25 here in Edo, one more one more $50 gift card from Specs. We will hook you up within the 5 o'clock hour. So if you're coming in and you want to get a part of that, put your name in our raffle box. It's right in front as soon as you walk in. Coming up, we'll get you caught up here on the Astros and the latest injury-wise with Yordan Alvarez and Chaz McCormick, as well as the injuries with the Houston Texans. All of that coming up as we continue live right here on the Draft.